All right. Good morning. We did it on purpose because we want you to hear silence. And are you okay with silence? This morning, we're going to talk about the idea of getting rid of the noise. And so, how do we deal with the noise? We've been looking at this passage, or we've been based off this passage in Psalm 46, where it talks about where God commands His children to be still and know that He is God. Or another way of saying it is to stop fighting. This idea of cease and desist, stop what you're doing, stop trying to figure it out on your own, and to know that He is God. It's made this morning, we sung the song that Your grace is enough. Do you really believe that? That His grace is enough? Or are you trying to do everything you can to make Him love you more? That's impossible. God cannot love you more than He already does. And so stop fighting against all these things and just rest in the fact that He is God. So we're talking about being still. And last week we dealt with the idea of maybe having to say no to some things, even good things. Jesus said no to staying in one place and having a great ministry there. He decided it was his call. It was his job to not just stay in Capernaum and preach and heal the sick and cast out demons, but to do it all over the place. And so Jesus tells the disciples, no, we're not doing that. We're doing something else. And He says no to some good things. And there are some times in our lives where we got to say no to some good things as well. And so this morning, we had this moment of quiet. Did it drive you nuts? A lot of us, we don't like quiet. As a student, I rarely studied in just quiet. The radio had to be on. Maybe it was low, but it was in the background, or something was going on so that it wasn't just quiet. How many of you just have the TV on just so some noise is there? You're not even watching the show, but you need something. You need the radio on. You need the TV on. How many of you, if in a teaching scenario, you ask a question, if nobody responds right away, you feel like you need to talk because you're afraid of the silence? We are afraid of the silence. We are afraid of not having noise. But today in this text where we're going to be in 1 Kings, if you want to start going that place, 1 Kings chapter 19. And what I want us to pull out from this is the idea that in order to give God our ear, we need to deal with the noise. We got to deal with the noise that's in our life. And so what I want to come out of this, what I want you to do is to be able to evaluate your relationship and find times to have quiet and to quiet the noise and to really listen to God. Okay, I want you to really listen to God. Quiet the noise that's in your life and listen. And so in 1 Kings, we'll be in chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 9 and read through verse 3. This is Elijah, a story about Elijah. I really like Elijah. He is one of my favorite Bible characters. I even named my child Elijah, and so you know I really like it. It says this in verse 9. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They've torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. And at that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was, he was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice. It was a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah has had one crazy experience, and now God wants him to get alone. Starting in chapter 18, if you want to understand what's going on in this context, it's a wonderful story about what happens with Elijah. Elijah is the prophet of God, and there are some other prophets of the false god Baal. And they have this little challenge because there's been no rain. Elijah told King Ahab there's going to be no rain, so they begin to beg for rain. And Elijah says, "Look, let's prove who's God." And they get up on top of Mount Carmel, and they have this little competition where they're going to pray and ask their God to send down fire so that it would consume an offering there. And then Elijah would do the same, and whoever's God answered would be the one true God. And so Elijah says, "I tell you what, I'll let you go first." So Elijah goes, he throws his feet up, he, you know, starts sipping on lemonade, and he watches the guys act the fool. And I mean, they cry out and they beg and they do all kind of things all day. They even get to the point to where they begin mutilating themselves and hoping that their blood would call on their God. And Elijah begins to taunt them. He's like laughing at him. He's like, "What are you guys doing? Maybe you should call a little bit louder. He's taking a nap. You know, maybe he just doesn't hear you. He's taking a nap." And then one time he said, "Well, maybe he's in the bathroom. He's a little busy right now. He can't get you." And so Elijah, he's just getting their goat, man. He's making fun of them and all of this great stuff. And then Elijah says, "Look, that's enough. It's my turn." And he has guys come and just put lots and lots of water on this altar and on this meat and on the wood and all the stuff. And there's no way that this firewood is going to start on fire. You know what I'm saying? It is soaked. There's water in a trench. It's not going to happen. And Elijah begins to pray. He says, "God, show yourself today. Will you answer your servant? Send down fire." And the fire comes down and it just roasts everything. And so Elijah's response is to collect the 500 prophets of Baal and just begin to get rid of them one by one. And they kill all the prophets of Baal. That is a huge victory. The false prophet is gone. The false prophets are gone. The false God is humiliated. Yahweh is exalted. Great day, right? Well, Jezebel, who's the queen, finds out what Elijah did. And Jezebel is the reason why they have all these Baal prophets. And she's not real happy about what Elijah did to her guys. And so she says, "I tell you what, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead, sucker." And Elijah, who has just watched God drop fire from heaven, gets scared. He's petrified and begins to run. And he runs away. And he takes a nap underneath what's called a brush tree. I can only assume that it's because they use what's in it to make brooms. Or it's a broom tree, excuse me. And so he's sleeping there. And God sends an angel to wake him up. And God says, "Wake up. You need to eat and drink because you've got a long journey." And he looks down at his feet and there's a jug of water and there's bread. So he eats and he drinks and he goes back to sleep. And God does this again. "Wake up. Hey, you got to eat and drink. It's going to be a long journey." So he does it again. And then God tells him, "Look, I need you to start walking, sucker." For 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah walks to Mount Horeb. And this is where we pick up the story. He gets to Mount Horeb and he goes into the cave. And Elijah he is alone. He's left his servant. He's left everything. He is alone. And he has abandoned his post because Elijah has been called to be the prophet of God to the people of Israel so that they would know who God is and what God has done. And he says, I don't want anything to do with it. I've been abandoned. I'm the only one left. I quit. And so he runs away. And he gets to this cave and God says, hey, Elijah, what you doing here? And Elijah begins to tell God his sob story. I'm the only one left. You know, I've served you. Nobody else wants to listen. They want to kill me. I quit. I quit ministry. I quit the job. I quit it all. And then God begins to show himself in a new way to Elijah. And I wonder why God didn't do this underneath the broom tree. Why didn't God show up with the whisper underneath the broom tree? Why didn't God do the whole wind and the earthquake and the fire underneath the broom tree? And I can only come up with the answer that this, God wants Elijah far away from anyone else, far away from the noise of life, far away from any distraction. And he says, I want you to listen to me and I want you to hear what I'm going to tell you. And the question is, have you ever gotten away to hear the voice of God? Have you ever gotten away so that you can quiet the noise, that you can get away from all the distractions of life, that you can hear God's voice? Sometimes God gets us in situations and in places in life where we are all alone and we feel all abandoned and we feel like nothing will happen. And it's only in those places do we really listen for the voice of God. Sadly, many times those things happen at our lowest moment in life. But I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, it is possible to hear God's voice in other moments of life than are just the bottom of the barrel moments for us. You can hear God's voice and you can hear what he has to tell you in good times too. And so what I want to do today is I want to help us understand this idea of getting rid of the noise. God gets him alone so that he can get rid of the noise. And so you may say this, what is this noise you're talking about? Well, let me give you a definition of noise. Noise is anything that keeps the heart and the mind in a state of going and doing instead of waiting and being. Let me repeat that for you. Noise is anything that keeps the heart and the mind in a state of going and doing instead of waiting and being. In other words, noise is distraction. Noise is the thing that gets us always doing something, hearing something, doing something. We're always doing instead of waiting and listening. And so today I want to help you as best I can understand how to deal with the noise that's in your life. Number one, you've got to recognize the noise. Recognize the noise. Before you can silence it, before you can get rid of noise, you have to understand that there is noise. Recognize it. So let me give you some example of what noise may be. In your life, noise may be some task you have to do. It's your to-do list. It is the responsibilities that you may have at home, responsibilities you have at church, responsibilities you have at school. These are all things you've got to get done. And you've got to make sure that they happen. These are the tasks that are in your life. Another type of noise could be people. The interactions that you have with your children or your spouse or your friends. Maybe phone calls you get or text, an email, social media. These are all types of noise. You need to recognize when these noise come into your life. Another type of noise can be information. Are you on Twitter all the time? Maybe on Facebook. Maybe you read books like crazy. Are you online looking for answers and you're reading blogs? Whatever it is, information, just give me information. And these are types of noise for us. Another type could be entertainment. It could be TV. It could be movies. It could be YouTube. Again, it could be books. It could be your phone. All of these things are types of noise. And notice, they weren't exactly bad, were they? I mean, I wouldn't call time with my children and time with my spouse bad. I wouldn't call reading a book bad. I wouldn't call my duty at church or at home or at school bad things. But you just need to recognize these are things that you have to do with and things that keep you busy and keep you away from hearing the voice of God. Nothing on this list is bad. What's bad is when you've got so many things on your list that you begin to squeeze God out. And God is not something you prioritize. God is not someone that you say, he has to be on my to-do list. God is not someone that you say, I've got to spend time with him before I do other things. God gets squeezed out because of so many things that we've got to do. So you need to recognize these things that in your life are noise, because this noise begins to push God out. And sadly, he is the one of the first ones that we begin to push out of our life and push out of our daily routine and push out of our ear because we've got so many other things to do. What's the noise in your life? Can you recognize the noise in your life? And once we recognize the noise, the second thing we do is you got to get rid of the noise. You got to silence the noise. Once the noise is recognized, you get rid of it. Maybe you pare down your to-do list. Maybe you back out of some obligations that you may have. Maybe you say, I'm going to say no to some good things, like we learned last week, so I can say yes to the best thing, and that is hearing the voice of God. Maybe you need to turn off your phone. Delete the Facebook app. Get rid of the Twitter account. I know these are things like I'm telling you to cut off a leg for some of you. But if it takes away all of your time, that you do not have time to listen to the voice of God, which one is better, having a Facebook imprint or listening to God? Power off your phone. Maybe you need to cancel some meetings. Maybe you just need to say no to some things. Practice the discipline of silence and solitude. When I was in college, we had to read this book in a history class, and I've never understood why you want us to read this book in a history class, but it's called Celebration of Discipline. It has nothing to do with history. But it's called Celebration of Discipline by a guy named Richard Foster. Now, Richard Foster is a Quaker, and Quakers, they spend a lot of time dealing with disciplines and things like spiritual disciplines. And so he writes this book called Celebration of Discipline, in which he goes through several different spiritual disciplines. And some of those are prayer, some of those are fasting, some of those are things that you know about. But many of us would not consider things like solitude and silence disciplines, especially in the world we live in now. We don't have time for silence. We don't have time to be alone. We've got too many things going on. But he talks about silence and solitude as disciplines. And silence is purposefully getting literal noise out of your life, where you're quiet. Maybe you're sitting on the bench outside, or maybe you went for a walk, or maybe whatever it is. You just get all of these physical distractions out of your life, and you are quiet. You don't look at your phone. You just listen. And solitude is the idea of being alone, not just being quiet, but being quiet alone. And so in these disciplines of life, you can better tune your ear to hear the voice of God. And so maybe you need to begin practicing some of these disciplines of silence and solitude. And let me give you some ways to do it. You can do it daily. Take 20 minutes a day and just be quiet. Maybe prayerfully listen to the voice of God. I know 20 minutes sounds like a long time not to have anything going on in your life, but do it. Try it with the intent of hearing the voice of God. You can do it weekly by taking a Sabbath. A Sabbath is a day in which you don't do anything else, but you just rest. God made you to rest. I tell my friends sometime who have got, you know, going and going and going, hey, either you Sabbath on purpose or your body will for you in a hospital. But you need to Sabbath. You need to take a break. And that day may fluctuate. We don't have to be legalistic with it. For some of you, Sunday is a Sabbath day. For me, it's not. And that's okay. But take a break. Listen to God. Get away. Maybe monthly you have an extended quiet time where you're going to go and spend maybe a Friday afternoon or a Friday morning somewhere where you are alone and listening to God in prayer and just have an extended time with God. And maybe even yearly you can do something like get away for a week or a few days at the least with the intent purpose of listening to God. Are you willing to get rid of the noise in your life? Because this is our goal. Our goal is this. We want what Psalm chapter 27 verse 8 says. And that says this. It says, my heart says this about you. The psalmist is talking to God. My heart says this about you. You are to seek my face. Lord, I will seek your face. The goal is to seek the face of God. God says, you should seek my face. And the psalmist is saying, God, I want to seek your face, and I'm going to do it. The whole point of getting rid of the noise is to seek the face of God. And Psalm 37, verse 7 says this, be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly on him. That's an interesting adverb there. We don't just wait on him, but we wait on him with anticipation. We wait on him expecting him to do something. We wait on him expecting to hear his direction. Now, if we go back to the story of Elijah, you remember Elijah covers his face. He hears all of this stuff. He hears the wind. He hears the earthquake. He hears the fire. And then he hears this still small voice or this whisper. So he covers his face and he walks out to the edge of the cave. If you remember, Elijah's running away. He's quit. He's quitting his job. I'm not being a prophet anymore. These people don't listen. I'm done. He's quit his job. And God says, I've got you alone so you can hear me. And this is what I got to tell you. The verses that follow, God tells him this. I've called you to be a prophet. I've called you to go back. Or I've called you to go and tell the people of Israel who I am, what I've done, and what I will do. And I'm telling you now, it's your job. I've called you. It's your duty to go back to Israel so that they too will hear the voice of the Lord. So God's message for Elijah was, I know you want to quit, but you can't. I'm not giving you any walking papers. There's no pink slips here. You have a job to do, and you will do it because I called you to do it. And some of you have gotten so caught up with the noise that you've forgotten what God has called you to do. Whether it's serving a particular ministry or to be someone who gives their life in a certain way. Maybe it's not what we call vocational ministry, where every Sunday where you get do something like you're paid to do it. But God has made everyone who is a believer a minister. And maybe you need to get along with God so he can tell you, hey, I didn't sign any walking papers. You need to get alone with him and hear what his voice has to tell you. And you get alone with him in his word through the Bible, and you spend time in prayer and just listen. Let him speak to you. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to get rid of the noise? That means you've got to make some tangible decisions in your life where you got to say, okay, I've got to actually turn off the phone. That if it rings or dings, I don't have to answer it right now. And push out the noise. Spend some time with the Father. As the guys play, I want you to respond to God in a way that's appropriate for you. Maybe that looks like a prayer where you are. Maybe it looks like a prayer here at the altar. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. I would love to pray with you, or grab a friend. Just say, God, my life is full of noise and I need quiet. Because our goal is to hear from him. To be still and know that he is God. And know that we are not.